Amen. For he has made me glad. You may be seated. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing and how he's doing it. Amen. And I just want to thank you for coming and welcome you that you would come and hear from your Father, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, because he desires that you and I be in perfect peace. He desires that you and I have joy unspeakable. Amen. And so today we want to continue to talk about Holy Spirit. But before I get started, I want you to continue to pray for us developing this church. I mean, you are part of the development of a church. And so if you see some things that you would like, then make it known. And then if there's something that you can do, then make it known as well. Amen. So that we will have a experience that the people at Capilina will be able to properly be able to get what they need spiritually. Amen. So as I said on last Sunday, we began a teaching on the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was the introduction, and this Sunday we're going to talk about the recognizing the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do we recognize it in our lives? Because Holy Spirit is constantly working in our life, whether you are a born-again believer, or you are contemplating Christianity, or you are a Christian, Holy Spirit is working in our life every day, all the time. Amen? And so what I want to look at today is how to recognize it working in our life so that we don't fall for Satan's counterfeit. A lot of times, the one thing that Satan attacks the most is any kind of teaching on the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I say that is because he knows that when a person properly allow Holy Spirit to work in their life and properly allow Holy Spirit to order their steps and order their thoughts, he knows that you will experience joy unspeakable. He knows that you would have a full life. So he wants to kind of anything that he can do to mess up any type of teaching or mess up any type of understanding of what the Holy Spirit is, he will do it. And sadly, he has been successful with a lot of people, especially people who are confessing themselves to be Christians. They have a form of godliness, but you don't necessarily see the character, you don't see the Christian service, and all of those things that's supposed to go along with a person being yielded to God or being yielded to Holy Spirit. So, as I said, Satan is the master counterfeiter. He can take a genuine experience and reproduce a facsimile of that. Though it may look like the real thing, it will bring the opposite results. And that's the same thing that happens in our life when someone says something and we think that they're saying something else. And because we didn't qualify what they were saying and we thought that we knew what they were saying, we have an actual facsimile of what they mean, and so therefore our actions or the results of our actions is devastating or it is wrong. So the same thing with the Holy Spirit. If people have the wrong view or the wrong conception of what the Holy Spirit is, then we will end up, in a lot of cases, not allowing the Holy Spirit to work, which is devastating to us, because without Holy Spirit, we really can't do nothing, because it is Holy Spirit that gives life. It is Holy Spirit that causes us to be able to live in such a way. Let me put it this way. Holy Spirit calls us to live in the way that God had designed us to live. However, there's a lot of things that's been presented to us in our life that is causing us to live nowhere near what God had purposed when he created us and put us in our mother's womb. Amen. And so I want you to know, in Satan's ability or in his attempt to counterfeit, he loved to counterfeit any kind of teaching about God. He wants us to think that God is this person that's sitting with this baseball bat, and anytime you do wrong, he's going to punish you for it. Or that we don't need God, that we can make our own decisions. I'm my own person. I make my own plans. I'm the one that calls me to be. And so what the devil does is he calls us to get into this mindset that is being pushed now. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, because the devil, like I said, he's a counterfeiter. And when God created us, it was all about us, but a different kind of way. What the devil wants us to do is think it's all about us, in that it's about you, it's about you, it's about you. You know, everybody should worship you. Everybody should listen to what you got to say. It should be about you. And the sad thing is, it causes us to get into a state where we worship ourselves instead of worshiping God, which will cause us to be better people. Amen. So when God created us, it was all about us. When he put you in your mother womb, it truly was all about us. You know, it was all about us, because he wanted a people who would come to him, serve him, acknowledge him as their Lord, and he will cause them to have perfect peace at all times. However, the world or the devil says it's all about you. You go to the gym, you get yourself this way, you worship yourself. You know, it's about your career. It's about you being at the top. It's about you going to the top, top, top. And so he have us to think it's all about us, but the wrong kind of way. So it is truly, and so that you will know just how much God loved us, it was all about us when he created this the human race as it is now. It was truly all about us, but it was about us in a way to where he didn't want us slaving, punching time clocks. It was never God's desire that we punch time clocks. It was never God's desire that we had to work with the sweat of our brows. That was never his design. He just wanted a people who would just fellowship with him. Because if you go back in Genesis, you'll see that when God created Adam and then Eve, all he wanted from them was fellowship. All he wanted for them, he put everything there. They didn't have to worry about anything. He said, listen, just don't eat of that tree, the tree of knowledge, and then you will know what good and evil is. And right now, you really know what neutral is. You don't know good and you don't know evil. You just know what neutral is. Man, if I could go back to that day, I would be happy. Amen. Because if I didn't know what good was and didn't know what evil was, I would just be like, I'm just enjoying life. I understand what I'm saying? It wouldn't be. And that was God's intention when he first created man, so that man will not be, he would not know what sadness was. He would not know what pain was. He did not know what none of these things was. And that was God's original plan for us. However, Here comes Slewfoot, as we would say, or the devil, again, to create a facsimile. He came in the Garden of Eden. He said to Eve, he said, did God really say that? Did God really say, you know, don't eat this tree, don't eat of this tree, you know? And so that's what the devil does. He say, are you really at peace? Are you really experiencing joy? Are you really, you know, is this thing that with God, is it real or is it facsimile? Is it going to last? You know how the devil does. Is it going to last? And the thing about it, that is, a lot of times when we try to get serious in relationships, when we try to get serious, even in our relationship with God, anytime we try to get serious at, there's always something or someone that comes along with a question mark. With a question mark. When you think that, you know, everything is going like it should. Everything. There's always that advocate that comes to take you, quote unquote, off your pinnacle of peace. Amen. And joy. And so the devil will come in, and this is how he messes up marriages. This is how he messes up relationships, because what he does is people can be having a good marriage, don't have no issues, and the devil start with one of them. Is this? Is that? Start with these question marks. And doesn't that hinder relationships? Whenever these question marks come in, and it's not like they're based on anything. There's no merit to the question. But all he got to do is just get us to just stop working on what is good and get us to think about what is bad. Yeah. Amen. And so the same thing in our Christian walk. You know, a lot of times, some of you may agree that when you first came to Christ or when you first got to know Christ, you know, for those of you that got saved, it was just like, okay, everything is going to be all right now. Everything is going to be all right. It doesn't mean that everything looked perfect. It doesn't mean that you didn't have no more problems. It doesn't mean you didn't have no more debt. It doesn't mean you didn't have to go to work or any of those things. But you had peace. And that's the very difference in with people who have trouble and they're not Christians, and people who are truly Christians, is that they have, both can have the same troubles, but one have peace in their troubles. So they're able to kind of step back and not allow the troubles to overwhelm them, but look at the trouble and see how to make it work together for their good. Because this is what God said. He said, all things, even your troubles, work together for our good. In other words, it's your troubles and your good times are classes, and they will teach you something that is going to cause you to get the good out of every circumstance. Whenever we go to the gym to work out, it gets kind of painful lifting those weights or doing those resistance and all of those things. But it's the resistance that caused good to come out. Is that not true? And so a lot of times in our life, we don't understand that when trouble comes, if we can step back and have peace and allow Holy Spirit to cause us to step back and look at the thing and not immediately say, I'm done. Don't immediately say, this is it, you know. But what we do is we're like, okay, now, God created me with a purpose. God created me with a plan. And none of the things that God said about why he created me, and I want you to make it personal, about why he created me, that I'm supposed to go through some things that I was not supposed to go through, that anything that I went through would catch him by surprise, or he didn't already know it, or he didn't already allowed it. He allowed everything to happen in our lives. And so what we have to do is we have to say, well, Lord, if you're allowing this to happen, why? And so here come the devil. Here come with his synopsis of the situation, or he'll come and say, well, this is why it's happening, and that is why it's happening. And what happened is we go running with that and end up really, really not learning what we should learn. I've found that everything that happens to me because God allowed it. And I'm not necessarily saying that I don't have anything to do with some of the things that happen to me. Yes, that I do. But those things that can destroy me, those things that can cause you and I to lose our joy and our peace, we have to know that there's something beyond us that is causing these things. So when I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about some of the things that Holy Spirit does. Now, the one thing that Holy Spirit does is it produces Christian character. So what is Christian character? The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5:22-23, and where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And this is what he says. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Number one is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. So then, when we compress these into 9 words, or he do it, it is not only a portrait of God's life, amen, the way Christ lived on earth, but also a description of the kind of life that God would want us to live. So those things show that when Christ lived on earth, he had all of these qualities, all of these qualities he had. And so it should also be produced in us. So what happens, though, because of Satan and his counterfeit, we have to keep in mind that a lot of people try to produce these Christian characters or these godly characters. Some people go to, monasteries? Some people go on hiatus. Some people go on these 40-day fasts, and they try to do all of these things to try to produce this character. But that is not the way that we are supposed to do it. Now, it is true that there's nothing wrong with fasting. There's nothing wrong with going on a hiatus. There's nothing wrong with none of these things. However, if we're doing these things not being told by Holy Spirit, not being told by God that, listen, for you, this is how I want you to get away with me. This is how I want you to put yourself in a position where I can fellowship with you, and so that you can hear me and you can talk to me. Amen. And so, but whenever we go about doing these things, amen, we end up being disappointed, because the Christ-like character in us can only be produced by Holy Spirit. And so if you and I don't allow that to happen, then what happens is I become religious and I become one who take on a holier-than-thou attitude, or one that think that I'm in a position to judge everybody. And then truthfully, we're in a position to judge nobody, because the Bible says no man knoweth the spirit of man unless God reveal it. So the only way that I'm going to know anything about you is not just because I talk to you, not just because I be around you, but the only way that I'm going to really know you is whatever Holy Spirit revealed to me about you. And that is going to allow me to be the best joint of supply for you. That is going to allow me to be able to really help bring out the best in you. Not only what you tell me, but it's more of what Holy Spirit tell me that is going to bring the Christian character out of you. So you should see certain things in people who say that they're Christians. They're always looking to help. They're always looking to bring the best out of others. They're very selfless. I didn't say selfish. I say selfless. They're always willing to give of themselves to bring the best out of you so that you can go on to be a Christian of character. So we don't bring these qualities out on our own, as I said. We can do whatever we want to, but at some point, the only way to get those qualities is simply you and I are going to have to surrender and say, Lord, I'm not going to interfere with what you're trying to do in my life. Amen? And we're going to have to come to the place to where we say, Lord, as you help me, I will be clay in the potter's hand. Amen. And Lord, let this Christian character be produced in me, not by me. I want y'all to hear what I said. Let this Christian character be produced in me, not by me. A lot of times we try to produce the Christian character and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And if we do, we just become a phony and a fake. Really, we have this form of godliness that the Bible says, but not really godly at all. We have this form of godliness, but not really no fruit of the Spirit at work at all. And so then what happens is it becomes bad for the unbeliever that's around us, as well as the believer that's around us. The unbeliever that's around us get turned off by God, by anything that has to do with God, because it's just like, this person supposed to be a Christian? Man, their character, man, their way of doing things is such a turnoff. Are you understand what I'm saying? Anybody saved or unsaved ever been around someone that's supposed to be a Christian, but you're like, I don't see nothing. I don't see anything. You know, the thing about me, you know, when I was, you know, coming up and I wasn't a Christian, we went to church. I went to church from a child, from first grade all the way through to 12th grade. But I wasn't exactly tuned in to the God of the church, because I saw so many things in the church by the people of the church that if this is what Christianity is, I never want to be one. And I sung on the choir. I did all of these things. But what I was seeing was not anything that would desire that I desire to be a Christian. There was nothing that I was in one of those denominational churches where it was about church and not about Christ. Amen. And that will hurt people. That will hurt people because, you know, I remember one time this gentleman came to my church. This is after, you know, I became a pastor. And he was a vice president of a bank. So he figured, you know, titles and stuff like that will get him to be elevated to, you know, to leadership position in the church. And so one day he asked me, I was doing a pastor's ordination for one of the pastors that was starting another church or doing another church. And so after the ordination, he said, so when is my pastor's ordination? And I said, excuse me, because I'm looking at the fruit. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not looking at the title. I'm looking at the fruit. And I said, explain that to me. And he said, well, the church that I came out of, I was the associate pastor and I did this and I did that. And I said, well, that pastor hurt you because you was not ready to do any of those things. And so instead of you growing and learning Christian character, you were in a position to try to tell other people how to live a life that you didn't know anything about. And so so I was trying to explain to him, yeah, at your job, you may be in a leadership role, but then there's two types of leadership. There's spiritual leadership, and then there's secular leadership. And everyone who can lead in the spirit, amen, with lead with spiritual leadership, doesn't make them a business person, doesn't make them good at leading in the natural, and vice versa. A person who may be a good leader in the natural may not be able to do anything in the kingdom of God when it comes to leadership. So then I need you to understand that the devil will always twist things and make things seem one way. You know, so many people say, well, we can use those skills. We can use those skills. Well, you know, I'm like this here. Holy Spirit, you've given that person ability to do A, B, and C. How exactly do that fit into your scheme of building your kingdom? How exactly do that fit into your scheme of edifying the saints? How do that fit into your scheme of reconciling sinners to you? How do that talent that you've given them fit in? Amen. And there are some things, like what I would do if a musician come to our church, you couldn't play no instrument for at least a year, because I need to know where you were spiritually. Because see, you get to playing and people get up excited and patting their feet and jamming and whatnot. They're not worshiping, they just enjoying the music. Whereas when a person got right relationship with God and play their music, then they're playing their music to God and it's worshipful. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so some people get turned off by that. You know, it's like, but they got talent. God's not looking for talent. He's looking for people to surrender to him. Hallelujah. And so I say that across the board, that even in your own personal struggles, whether you have anything to do with a position in the church or anything, you have a position in life. And God wants to make sure that you have the right position in life. And he wants you to have the right perspective. And this is why he gives us Holy Spirit. As I said, number one that I notice about when Holy Spirit is allowed to work in a person's life, he will always develop Christian character. And Christian character is very neutral. And when I say that, Jesus was in the middle. He could pull from the rich. He could pull from the poor. So he could reach to the down and outers and the up and outers. The up and outers are people who think they got everything together, who's doing pretty good, got some money or whatnot. And then the down and outers are people who are struggling day to day. Amen? But Jesus always positioned himself in the middle. And so that is what I noticed, or that I learned from looking at Jesus' life, and when he was here on earth, that he lived a neutral life. It was a life that didn't matter who a person was, they felt that they could approach him, or he could approach them. They didn't feel like some kind of way, you know, whenever he tried to talk to them. Some people, like, you know, before I came to Christ, and some Christians, when they came, it was just like, oh, here we go with the Jesus stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then some people would come, and it's just like, you know, that is something I really need to consider. That is something, because there's more to it than just the words about God or Christ. There has to be those other fruit working. Love, temperance, amen, patience. You got to have all of those things in your approach to people in order to for them to see that, you know, you got something that I don't have. You got something that I would like to have. You got a personality that's contagious. You got a whatever. And so if it seems like that a person is, you know, in some cases too good to be true, that person is allowing Holy Spirit to develop Christian character in them. Because the devil gives us the first thing, what do they want from me? You know, when people come in our lives, what do they want? You know, what's the catch? What's the catch? You know, instead of us just like, okay, well, let me see what this person has got to give me. Amen? And like they say, it's not what your, who said it? Not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And so we need to have that attitude. It's not so much like, what do they want to take from me, as much as, Lord, what did you send them to give me? What did you send them to give to me? Amen? And so that's one thing about what Holy Spirit does, the way to recognize it in other people as well as in our own life. It will produce Christian character. Another thing that it will do, it produces Christian service. Amen? So that when a genuine Christian serves, when genuine Christian service is a direct result of Holy Spirit working in and through believers. Jesus told the multitude one day, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Amen. So John explained that. He said, John explained that Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit who would come to indwell believers. However, it says, we could never produce living waters and certainly not rivers. We at best can be channels, only channels and instruments for this divine outflow. So I can only be an instrument and you can only be an instrument. However, if we don't allow Holy Spirit to show us or to order our thoughts and our steps, we will not produce Christian service. So then you look at some people and some people, they always happen. And I was sharing, I think, back in the beginning of when we started this church back in November, how that I was looking at trying to be show Christian service to the members. And at the time, a few years back, the gas prices went sky high. And so the first thing I did, I looked at the situation. We were having services on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We'd have prayer on Wednesday. We have prayer on Tuesday and Bible study on Wednesday. Plus, we had Sunday service. So I'm looking at the situation, and I'm like, I have people driving, you know, over 50 miles away, some people 50 minutes away, 45 minutes away, coming to the church. And I'm like, they got to come on Tuesday night, then they got to come around and come on Wednesday night. I said, no, this is not working. So the first thing I did was I combined the two services and only met on Wednesday. So we had prayer and Bible study on Wednesday. Secondly, what I did was I would go to Sam's and just spend lots of money and set up kind of like a little supermarket for people in the church to stretch their money. So the money that they were, you know, was spending on gas, now, you know, it's like you don't have to spend as much on gas. I mean, on food, and because of the price of gas. But I thank God that as that went along, you know, and it's like, I want to help the people out. I want them to put their mind on the Lord, not how they're going to make ends meet or how they're going to stretch this and stretch that. But anyway, after a while, my desire went beyond the church. It's like, now, how do I feed people, or how do I get food for people who are not members of the church? How do I now start reaching the neighborhood? Amen. And so it went on to the place to where God created a situation with a major food chain, a supermarket, to where we was able to go from just helping the members to helping people in the neighborhood, to doing senior citizen homes, to doing supplying food for the Y, supplying food for seniors homes, a couple senior homes, supplying food to other churches, helping other churches set up their pantry, and so forth and so on, and it just went to one thing. So what happens is, from that, is people look at me and it's just like, oh, you must really be a Christian, because your desire to help other people, it just never stops. It just never stops. And so that's one thing about Christian service and Christian character. You never seem to stop noticing the needs of people and asking God to help you to address them. Amen. That's one thing that you will notice, that people will see it, and they will know that you are not just a good person, but there's something else there. You know, it's okay to be a good person, but the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. So that says that I can't be a good person on my own. I need some outside influence. Amen. And that outside influence is Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So then, another thing about Christian service, you never see it as a duty. You know, if a person said they're a Christian and they say, you know, I got to go to the church, I got to go do this here, I got to go pray, I got to go help this one, I got to go do the other one. No. If you're not going to do it with a joy and the delight, there's something wrong. Amen. So we want to do what we do. Our service to God must be, amen, of joy and excitement. So there should never be a time where, if I'm doing it for the Lord and I believe I'm doing it for the Lord, and if Holy Spirit is leading you to do it, guess what? You will never ever see it as a duty. It always will be a delight. Hallelujah. It will always be a delight. To help others, to serve others will only be a delight. It never becomes like, oh man, I got to do this as a Christian. I got to do that as a Christian. I got to do the other as a Christian. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm excited about serving because, you know, I think for me and I think for even a lot of other people, we know what our life was like without Christ. We know that we were bad. And I'm going to tell you, I was bad. When I say I was bad, I was bad. I was the biggest drug dealer in Waikiki for at least 3 years. I was bad. When I say bad, I was bad. And not bad as you are bad, but bad as I was bad. I was a bad person for society. I was a liability for society, not asset to society. I was a liability to society. I was a liability to lots of other people's lives because everybody who was spending money that they should have been paying bills or feeding their children or helping their children go to school or keeping their family intact, I was a liability to them. And so this is why I'm so excited that I can actually work. All of that stuff that I've done has been reversed. Instead of me destroying people's lives, hallelujah, I got an opportunity to build lives. I got an opportunity to bring the best out of people. I got an opportunity to encourage a man or a woman to spend time with their family, to spend time with their kids. You know what I'm saying? To work on your marriage. You know, instead of being like, well, look, I don't care if you can't pay your bill. You're going to pay me my money. I don't care if your children ain't got no food. Pay me my money. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so today, I don't even have to ask nobody for money. Somebody say hallelujah. In our church, in 26 years, I only taught one message on giving. One message on giving.